In the past few weeks, with the support of both parties, Congress has passed four coronavirus bills to meet the economic and health care demands of this pandemic. The most recent one, signed by President Trump on Friday, allocated billions of dollars for small businesses, hospitals, and widespread testing. Now members of Congress are talking about what will be in the next piece of legislation and if there will be one. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is, of course, one of the people setting that strategy, and she is with us now. Madam Speaker, welcome. Thank you so much for talking to us.
My pleasure. I wish it were under different circumstances, but good to be with you.
Likewise. Thank you. As we mentioned this past week, Congress passed its fourth relief measure to address the economic fallout from the coronavirus. I know that the Republican leader of the Senate initially came out with a much lower figure. Democrats held out for more, despite some of the more vulnerable members and candidates being hammered for it by Republican groups and ads and so forth. But others in your party, like New York Governor Cuomo, are saying that there wasn't any money for state and local governments. The District of Columbia, for example, which got far less than it was expecting in an earlier bill, still hasn't been made whole. How do you defend this as the best deal you could get at this time?
It's not a question of defense. It's being very positive about what we did accomplish. We had CARES 1. We announced immediately we would have CARES 2, which would have state and local, which would address this District of Columbia issue, which would have more money for voting by mail, other initiatives in it. They intervened and said, hey, we need $250 billion right away in 48 hours. And I said, well, we have to see how we address the small business distribution of funds. And we were successful in getting the bill from $250 to $480 with a big chunk of money for those underbanked businesses and $100 billion for hospitals and testing. We never stopped working on our CARES 2 bill. And we will go for it, and we will have in the legislation as large a number as possible to reflect the needs of our state and local governments. And that means to help them address the outlays that they're making for the coronavirus and also to address the revenue loss that they are suffering. So I'm not defending anything. I'm very proud of what we did, and I'm proud of my members.
And to your point, speaking of your members, I mean, just one House Democrat voted against the legislation. That was a New York Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Her argument was basically that the bill doesn't go far enough to help working families. She wanted, for example, rent and mortgage relief to be included, for there to be an increase in the Paycheck Protection Program. I mean, the unity of your caucus in the House side and increasingly on the Senate side has been crucial, I think that you would agree, to getting the result that you wanted. Are you concerned that if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is one vote that you didn't get in this round, that there could be other progressives going forward
I'm not concerned at all. Everybody has their vote that they make for whatever reason, but I'm more impressed that every other Democrat voted for the legislation. So I don't know why we're going to focus on one person when overwhelmingly all the House Democrats and Senate Democrats were unified in how we went forward. And that was remarkable. I'm proud of the senators, the Democratic senators.
So let's go now to the topic of oversight, which is really just a fancy way of saying, you know, overseeing how the money that you appropriate gets spent. On Thursday, the House voted to establish a new oversight committee to monitor how the administration implements the coronavirus relief money. House Republicans voted unanimously against the creation of the committee, saying that there are already other oversight committees that can do the same work. And I think the implication being that this is an effort to damage President Trump politically. What's your response to that?
My response, my initiative of it, I'm very proud that the members voted for that. Now it is the law for the rules of the House. The point about this is that Republicans in the past, they had oversight committee to destroy Planned Parenthood. You recall Benghazi, how long that went. Well, of course, there were other committees that could have dealt with that. We didn't have a pandemic and 26 million people out of work. We do now. And so there is a need when we're talking about spending nearly $3 trillion in taxpayer money to make sure that there's no waste, fraud, and abuse, no price gouging, no profiteering on this. This isn't about President Trump. This is about how this will be implemented.
And just two more questions, Madam Speaker. The president announced that the U.S. is suspending all payments to the World Health Organization for 60 to 90 days, and he indicated the funds may be spent elsewhere. Does he have the power to do that? Is the House going to ask the Government Accountability Office to evaluate the legality of this action, much as it did when the president withheld security funds for Ukraine?
Yes, the office has already spoken to the illegality of it. He can do it temporarily, but he can't do it as a policy. In other words, if he wants to hold up some money, that is questionable in terms of its legality, but he cannot stop the money ever from going. But that's neither here nor there. The money is one thing. It's a terrible thing. But worse than that, if you can believe it, worse than that is that he and the Secretary of State have been deleting any reference to the World Health Organization and any of our strategies on how we deal with the pandemic. That may be more harmful than just the money. They're holding up a resolution at the Security Council of the United Nations because they don't want the World Health Organization's involvement in the resolution and therefore in the plan to go forward. And what they're doing is not even, it's stupid. I mean, it's more than stupid. It's dangerous.
Well, that's my last question for you. Speaking of the question of dangerousness, I mean, Banner Speaker, what do you see as the Democrats' primary role in this moment? I mean, given that the president is on television sometimes for hours, almost every day, and sometimes the information that he provides, as you pointed out, I mean, health officials are saying is dangerous, as the recent incident sort of, he now says he was being sarcastic, but suggesting that people could inject bleach. I mean, and yet we see that local officials around the country were getting calls from people saying, is this something that they should do? So is there something more that the Democrats could be doing to provide a different message around this time? Is there, what do you see as your primary role right now?
My primary role is to insist on the truth. On Easter Sunday, I had my own epiphany because it was the first day I could have time to really think and reflect and pray over this in a very concentrated way. And I had my own epiphany. So I came out of there saying, we must insist upon the truth. This is a president who has called this a hoax. He has said it will go away magically. This is dangerous. And we cannot allow his dangerous words to be the predicate for a consideration of anything. So we see our role as insisting on the truth, insisting on policies that make this fair, and to make sure that we are taking a measure as we go forward of the disparity in different communities of how the pandemic is striking communities of color and poor communities and the rest.
That's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaking to us from the Capitol. Madam Speaker, thank you so much for talking with us today. I hope we'll talk again.
Thank you, Michelle. Good luck to you. Thank you.